In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came to be through him, and without him nothing came to be. What came to be through him was life, and this life was the light of the human race. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. A man named John was sent by God. He came from testimony to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came to be through him, but the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, but his own people did not accept him. But to those who did accept him, he gave power to become children of God. To those who believe in his name, who were born not by natural generation, nor by human choice, nor by man's decision, but of God. And the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We saw his glory, the glory of the Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. John testified to him and cried out, saying, "This was whom I said, the one who is coming after me ranks ahead of me because he existed before me. From his fullness we have all received grace in place of grace. Because while the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. The only Son, God, who is at the Father's side, has revealed him." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
I've been thinking about gift giving this Christmas, and to be honest, I'm not much of a gift giver. In fact, I don't give very many gifts at all. I'm bad at that part of Christmas, so this is my public confession. And the reason I was thinking about gifts is I live with 5 or 6 other priests, and little by little, packages are arriving for the other priests, right? And I see you show up at the door, etc. It's like, hey, wait a second, I'm not getting many packages. This is not a plea to get gifts from all of you, so don't worry. This is just my reflection. And I was thinking, where did that start? In my family, we used to be on a budget for Christmas. I don't know about yours, but we'd get a certain amount of money we could spend. We were 7 kids, so there had to be a limit, right, to how many gifts you got your siblings, right? So this was the number, and then when you asked for gifts, you also had a number. So you go through the catalog back then. All the gifts were in a catalog, and you'd pick out the different things, and you write down your list and give it to Santa, and you'd get it. So it made me think, you know, I always related gift giving to a budget, right? You can only give so much. And then as we got older with all the siblings, we'd start being more pragmatic about it, right? Like, what do you need? You didn't want to waste your money. You only had so much on things that were useless. So you say, hey, what do you need? And then they'd tell you, oh, I think I could use this or that, etc. And then over time, all my brothers and sisters, they don't really need anything. And then I lived in Italy, and it sort of just got impractical, and so we stopped giving gifts to each other, you know? So the negative side of that is, well, it's a limit. What do you really need? You don't need anything, so you don't do anything. The positive side to that is it made me much more aware all throughout the year to be sure I was there. Whenever a need did arise, be quick to respond, because you're not doing it in the Christmas bowl, so make sure. Notice something, send them something, be present, whatever it was. So that was the upside. But one thing that made me start to think about gift-giving relationship with Christmas, other than the priests getting their gifts, is what is the gift that God gives us, and what's the gift that God expects back from us? Because similarly to my siblings, God doesn't need anything, right? He's got it all. It's like never truer said, what do you give someone who has everything? What do you give God? He's got it all. But actually, there is one thing that God doesn't have. One thing he can't give himself. One way in which God isn't all-powerful. He can't give himself your love. He can't force you to love him. So he creates you, and then he awaits that gift. That's the opportunity of what we can give the Lord. What does God not have? My faith, my heart, my love. That's what I can gift to Jesus. In fact, the first, you all know the tradition of gift giving goes back to St. Nicholas of Smyrna. There's different traditions, different stories, different countries have also come up with different kind of origin stories to the tradition of gift giving. But St. Nicholas of Smyrna noticed as a parish priest, there was a family with three daughters. And they were a poor family, peasant family, didn't have much money. And they didn't have enough money for a dowry. Back then, when a girl would get married, she had to give some money to her husband to start the family. So the father would give the daughter a sum of money, and that was her dowry to give to whoever she was getting married with. And that was kind of where they would get their new family started. And these poor girls didn't have any money, didn't have a dowry. So word spread in town. So even if they were beautiful, most of the guys were like, not worth the investment. And these poor little girls weren't getting married. The pastor realized that, and one good evening, he made three little sacks of money, and he went by the house, threw it in the window of their bedroom. And they woke up and found the dowry money. Like, I got a gift. And then word spread, and soon they were married happily, right? The gift, right? The gift, they couldn't give themselves the power to receive love. They needed to receive it. And that was the gift that he gave them, gift to be loved, to receive love. That's the gift we can also give to God and receive from God today. You know, this gospel reading, very theological, the other three, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, tell the story of Jesus' birth. And John chooses to do it much differently. That's the reading we had today. He does it very theologically. He steps back from the mystery of the Magi and, you know, Mary and Joseph and being born in a manger and all the story of Christmas, which is true and present in the other three Gospels. But he steps back and says, what's going on here? What's the big picture? What's the mystery? And he goes into it more from 30,000 feet. He says, the beginning of all of this, all of existence, was God and his word, his son. And he spoke the world into existence. He created it. He created the family, created all of creation. Everything that came to be, everything that existed, came through God and his word. That's the beginning of everything. God who gifts existence and the word. And then he jumps to John the Baptist. And a man named John was sent by God. He came to testify, etc. Because what was he testifying? Hey, there's a new creation coming. A new light. A new beginning of everything. A new word is going to be spoken to recreate everything that was lost to sin. So you had this first creation through the word. And then at Christmas, what's really happening is a new word, Jesus, the word of God, is being spoken again. A new light that would enlighten everybody and help them come back to God. That true light that enlightens everyone. And then the tragic line. He came to what was his own because God had created everything. He was born amongst, he came to his own, but his own people didn't accept him. The most tragic words of scripture. Somebody told me a story yesterday, a couple falling in love, I'm going to do their marriage, but they met at a little bit of a distance. He's in San Francisco, she's in New York. They met when he was in New York for a business trip, and they started the relationship, and they were at a distance. She came out to San Francisco in the very early stages, fortuitous business trip. They spent some more time together, and before she leaves, he slips a note into her purse declaring his love to her, right? She goes home, and as women do, changes her purse, right? Because it didn't fit her outfit. She put it away. She had no idea. That gift was given to her. She had no idea. She's like, I wonder, why is this guy not calling me? And he's on the other end, why didn't she ever respond to my note? I mean, I took a big risk and put that. He gave her a gift. She didn't know it was there. She didn't receive it. It's sad. Like, oh no. Eventually, he had the courage. He texted her, hey, did you see that gift I left in your purse? She went back and found it. Then the story picks up from there. But that tragedy, when a gift is given and the other person doesn't see it, doesn't know it, doesn't realize it. He came to what was his own, but his own people didn't accept him. But to those who did accept him, those who do receive the gift of Christmas, of God who gives himself to recreate everything, to bring it back to life, to help us see all things in him, those who did accept, he gave power. He gave power to become children of God. He gave him power to come into that family, to receive that dignity, to be part of the divine family of God. That's the gift God gives us today. It's not that, and he says it very clearly, to those who believe in his name, who born, not by a natural generation, not because God begets them physically, although he does create them, not by human choice, it's not like some choice that just makes it happen, or some man's decision like happens in human life. Someone decides to get married, wants to have children. But God's decision, it's of God that we are given this life and this gift. And that's what's happening at Christmas. And then he switches again. And the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among. That's what God's doing. Coming down to dwell among us, to gift himself to us, to open up the possibility that we can gift back to him our love and our fidelity. Does God need anything in himself? No. In relation to you, he needs everything. He needs your love and your yes. So brothers and sisters, as we continue this Mass, I invite you in your own heart, wherever your level of gift giving to God has been throughout this year, renew that desire to give him that gift. Renew that desire also to receive the gift of his life and his love. You already received it at baptism, but it can be there dormant. You can give that gift, you can receive it as a child, but not be aware of it, not be practicing it, not be tapped into it. So I encourage you in this Mass, go in, connect with that grace that's there in a deeper way and receive that gift. From his fullness, John goes on to say, we have all received grace upon grace, right? God wants to give you grace after grace after grace after grace. God wants to reveal himself to you. One beautiful tradition, we'll close with this, at the Creed during the Christmas season, Christmas Mass, is when we pray that the Word was made flesh, we kneel. We say that God became incarnate in the Virgin Mary. We kneel as an extra gesture of reverence for that mystery that God chose to come down and gift himself to humanity and recreate us, to bring that light so that we can discover him once again. So let's, as we do the Creed now after, we'll genuflect at that moment and pause to reflect on that mystery. And in that moment, open your heart up to the Lord once again in a deeper way. Amen.